have a reading this morning. This reading will be a kind of a predecessor to Jim's lesson. He'd asked me to read this. It'll be from John, the 17th chapter, starting with the 6th verse. I have revealed to you, to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the child of hell, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not in the world, even as I am not in it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me.
Jesus' prayer in Luke chapter 11, Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, is not his prayer, but the one he taught the disciples to pray. It was a model prayer for others to pray. Jesus' prayer of John chapter 17 is really the Lord's Prayer. Throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have numerous occasions where there is referenced Jesus going away from the crowd, going away from the bustle and hustle and bustle of each and every day, from teaching his disciples, going away to pray. Sometimes he prayed all night. But how much could you tell me about those prayers? What was the content of any of those prayers? We don't know. Well, you see, usually the content of Jesus' prayer is not mentioned. But here in Luke 17, we find a difference. Only a few of his prayers tell us of the content of his prayers. As I think in Gethsemane, we have Jesus praying. We'll be talking about next week. So we know something about his prayer, what he prayed for. Oh, we know that he was a man of prayer from these other occasions where he was said to pray. But in John's gospel account, this particular chapter, chapter 17, gives special emphasis to the content of Jesus' prayer. Now, sometimes in reading it, if we read it just once, we maybe have a little difficulty staying with it or following it. But after all, this is his prayer. This prayer is uniquely the private prayer of the Lord himself. He does not say to the disciples, I am teaching you how to pray. In fact, though they're present, he doesn't ask them to join in with the prayer, in the prayer with him. This prayer is his. This prayer is between him and the Father. If we go back to John chapter 17, I'd like for you to read it at length sometime too, after our lesson. If we go back to the very first verse, John records this for us. He said, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven. Lifted up to eyes, his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. The hour has come. You remember way back 3 years or so before in Cana of Galilee, his mother told him that the people at this wedding feast had run out of wine. And he said, you know, what is that to be? My hour is not yet come. My hour is not yet come. And yet at other times he would say that same thing. But now he is saying, as he has said previously in this week, this is his last week. This is his last night alive on earth as a human being. Before his resurrection, before his crucifixion, before his resurrection. He's teaching his apostles. I don't know if they're still in that upper room. It was in that upper room where he partook of the Passover feast with his apostles, where he instituted the Lord's Supper, where Judas left his circle of friends on his way to betray Jesus within hours. It was here that Jesus heard them bicker about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And it was here that Jesus decided, you know, these men need a lesson. They need a hard and fast lesson. Let's see if I can find me a towel. No one washed our feet when we came in. The job of a servant, I'll do it. And he taught them a lesson of humility as he washed the disciples' feet. He told them in John chapter 14, early part, that he would be going away. He said, let not your heart be troubled. All their heart would be troubled. Many things were to happen this night and the next day. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. That where I am, there ye may be also. But here in John chapter 17, Jesus lifts up his eyes to heaven. Much was on his heart. He had much to talk to the Father about, and John records it for us. He had finished the work that God had given him. John 17:4, he would later repeat that upon the cross. He desired to be glorified in that cross. He knew that that was part of his hour. He wanted to be glorified in revealing God to men. And then to have that same glory that he had with the Father from the beginning. Beginning in John 17, verses 6 through 19, he prayed for these disciples specifically. These 11, Judas has left. These 11. Soon he must leave them. In addition to what he had taught them in the early part of John chapter 14 and the institution of the Lord's Supper, the John 13, the lesson of the towel, he said, you know, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And I'll just bring to your attention three verses in John 14, 15, and 16 that say something about that the Holy Spirit coming for them. He will teach them in all things and bring all things to their remembrance that Jesus had taught them, according to John 14, 26. It's one of the things he would do. The Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of truth, would testify of Jesus. That's in 15:26. The other was 14:26. Now 15:26. And next in 16:13, the Holy Spirit would guide them into all the truth. You see, Jesus had taught them to a point. But you know, for three and a half years, there comes a point when you just can't keep adding. He can't teach them about the cross. He's told them about it. He can't teach them about the resurrection and its meaning and its significance. They don't even believe it at this time totally. It hasn't happened. His ascension back to the Father. Maybe the Holy Spirit can better handle that after the fact. The cross, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. The Holy Spirit would guide them unto all the truth. Finally, in John 17, 20 through 26, Jesus prayed for all the believers. The disciples, the apostles, the 11, as well as those who will believe in me through their word. It is these verses that I want us to focus on for the remaining few minutes that we have. Title of this lesson, That They All May Be One. That they all may be one. We see all about us, everything about us that would suggest that Christians are not one. That Christians, those who believe in Christ, or profess belief in Christ, are not united, in what they believe, even. Jesus prayed that they all may be one. What can we learn from Jesus' prayer? Well, number one, that Jesus was concerned for unity, for sure. He was concerned for unity. Unity among those apostles. He had just seen the opposite demonstrated as they bickered about who's going to be greatest. They had not learned a lesson of humility. They had not learned that there was a oneness to be desired. I know in a class this morning, I just happened to remember soldiers. Soldiers of Christ Arise that we sing sometimes. And we don't sing Soldier of Christ Arise. And when we were in the army, we were taught to defend ourselves, but for the most part, we were taught in rank. We were taught, how to go out in a unit or a platoon and fight a battle. When the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following talks about the Christian armor, each individual Christian puts on the armor, but he's talking about an army. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the church going forth united as one. That's why they teach us in the army, or they taught us in the army to march. You don't get on a battlefield and march except to do the same thing at the same time, at least World War II-wise, you could do that. Maybe in the Korean War. Ever since Vietnam War, that has fallen by the wayside to some extent. Because there's people taking pot shots at you individually. And Satan does that too. He'll swoop up the whole church, but he'll go after the individuals too. So we all need to be ready to this. Jesus was concerned for unity. He knew the apostles would not go very far in that great commission he would give them to go into all the world if they were not united in that going forth. And that nobody would pay any attention to them anyway if they were not united. That's what we hear from a lot of people today. You folks that are Christians can't get together on what you believe. Why should I believe? Many atheists stand behind that very tree, so to speak. They think we're hypocritical. To some extent, they're right. If they were not united in their doctrine, if they were not united in their practice, if they were not united in their love for one another and love for the world as God so loved the world would not listen. The world does not listen today. They needed to be, as well as we needed to be, united in purpose. United in purpose. Jesus knew that the world would have little reason to believe what they said if they didn't all say the same thing. I don't mean in matter of opinion, but as far as the doctrine. For the doctrine. In John chapter 17, 21, after his prayer that they may be one, Jesus then says, "And that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you love me." Let's look at verses 20 down through 23 and read those again. Appreciate Joel reading those verses and making a comment about those verses. We need to be sure in our worship that we're not ritualistic in our worship. That we're not singing this song because that's what the song leader said to do. That's what we do in the Church of the Christ. And then we partake of the Lord's Supper at this particular time because that's what we do. Our sermons are 25 minutes longer or 30 minutes longer, no shorter, no longer, because that's what we do. We don't have a scripture reading before the lesson, because we've never done that before. As long as it's not unscriptural. When can the reading of the scripture be unscriptural? When's the last time we had a prayer meeting? We used to call Wednesday night prayer meeting. You can't call it a prayer meeting anymore, can we? But we don't meet to pray. We do pray when we meet, and I'm not sure that there ever was, quote, a cold prayer meeting, but we used to have them at some congregations I attended. We got together and instead of having the regular class that night, we just had all the men scattered out there, and most of them led prayer because most of them were Christians, and you gotta pray to God if you're a Christian. And we just went around the class and had prayer and some scripture reading. One time, Richard Rogers got up at sunset on Sunday night. I thought it was because he was totally unprepared. You know what he did? All he did was read the book of James and sit down. Can you believe that? That's all he needed to do. How much better to emphasize the messages in the book of James than just to read them and say nothing about them. We have the book of James, but we don't have a commentary by the title of James. So sometimes we don't need anything said. We just need to read God's Word. Sometimes I think today too much is said. I know we're going to get an amen from somebody. No, Brother Joe Lewis is not here today. He won't. But anyway. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. You and me. Jesus is praying for us. There was a lot on his heart. He knew that those men would have difficulty with unity, but he also knew we would too. You love all your brethren and sisters here, everywhere. You even know your brothers and sisters here. You know, a lot of times we don't even know when somebody gets sick. Somebody's dead before we know they even were sick. And I know a lot of times that goes both ways. You know, when somebody dies, they can't call you up and tell you. But when somebody's sick, they can let you know if they need the prayers of the congregation. But then we need to be calling too to find out if a person is sick. I can't do all that calling. Ann can't do all that calling. Don can't do it all. Philip can't do it all. Any of the others of you that are making calls can't do them all. There are a lot of folks that need to be encouraged. Violet Bonner needs to be encouraged. Sister Ruby needs encouragement. Sister Rachel. Connie needs encouragement. I need encouragement. My dog gives me all kind of discouraging remarks. And Janice is sick a lot. And I appreciate the telephone calls to her. And Connie sends cards. She's got a discount somewhere. Get discount cards. I don't know. She sends cards. And that's great. Janice has been sending in cards. We're trying to make a point of sending cards for people's birthdays. People are sick. It's a good thing. Jesus went about doing good. Let's do good. It's a good thing. I'm never going to get all those verses read, though. Verse 21, that they all may be one. And notice, he says like this, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That's when we quit reading the verse. What in the world is he saying? Jesus said, I did that which pleased the Father. God and I are together. We're on the same page. The Holy Spirit is on the same page. We're the Godhead. We were all there in the beginning, in the creation. And we've been together ever since, and we will be together from now on. God the Father will be waiting for you. I will be interceding on your behalf at God's right hand, and the Holy Spirit will be giving you and has given you the word through the apostles. And will be helping you, interceding, and helping you in other measures that the Bible sets forth. We see then this prayer that Jesus is concerned with the oneness of all believers, not just those 11 men, but he's concerned with all believers. We learn number two, Jesus' prayer leaves no question as to how this unity is to be achieved. What does it say? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that believe on me through their word. All these messages being preached today from pulpits, what I believe, we better believe their word. What do you mean their word? Don't we believe God's word? Their word. Jesus taught them. When he left them, the Holy Spirit guided them unto all truth, not most of it, all truth, brought them into remembrance of what Jesus said. So let's say they forgot something what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit brought them into remembrance. So what they taught and what they wrote was what Jesus taught them, and the Holy Spirit supplemented it. And when you got both of those, you got all of it. So when the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's not an unholy thing to say. Apostles' doctrine, why don't you say God's word? Because the apostles' doctrine is God's word. It's what they were taught by Jesus. And what was supplemented to them by the Holy Spirit, inspired by God. Paul wrote that, but even if we or angels from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we preach, that's past tense. What had been preached in the first century, let him be accursed. We better be studying this book. One day it's going to be open and we're going to be judged from this book. You say, I don't have much education. You better have education in this book. We better be educated in this book. Mentioned in our class this morning, James chapter 1, 5. Any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I don't understand. Ask God to help you. Well, do you pray to God? Do you talk to God? That's what prayer is, talking to God. Jude verse 3 of his book writes and exhorts to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered, past tense, to the saints. The faith, singular, the faith, the gospel, the word of God, the apostles' doctrine, all referring to the same thing. Paul said in Romans 10:17, where faith comes from. Faith comes from how we feel about something, right? I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. What you believe is what you believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the faith I'm talking about. If you've got faith that's based on something else, your faith is in the wrong thing. Listen to what a man by the name of Linsky said. The word of God, the truth, and the faith. He said the word communicated by the apostles is the means for producing faith and making believers. Apart from the word, there is no church. Because there is no faith apart from the word. And the church is constituted out of those and those alone who have faith. At once it appears how dangerous it is to be ignorant of the word, or to alter it, or to falsify it in any way. He was right on point. Jesus' words of John 14:6 come to mind, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no man can come to the Father except by me. Do you think Jesus left this earth and did not let that message out? I am the way, but you're never going to know what that way is. I'm the truth, but you never can figure it out. No. I'm all the way to the Father, but nobody's ever going to go there because you're never going to figure it out. No, that's not what Jesus meant. He was concerned about people. He prayed that people would be united based upon the apostles' doctrine, upon what they would teach on this word of God here. The New Testament. Later in his prayer, John 17, Jesus prays to the Father, do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, the apostles' word, and they taught what they had been taught by him. And they taught what had been supplemented by the Holy Spirit, or inspired by the Holy Spirit. Number 3, last. In Jesus' prayer, we learn the results of belief in Jesus through the apostles' word. We've looked at some of that already, so we just touch the highlights. Reading again in John 17, 20 through 22, and I wrote it down because I want to kind of take it a step at a time. So I'll have some comments to make between verses, as I sometimes do when I say I'm not going to make any comments. He said, I do not pray for these alone. Okay, I got that. You're not praying just for the 11. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. Those that these men teach and those who are then taught by what they have written, resulting in that they all may be one. That they all may be one. That's what he was praying. He wasn't wishing. He wasn't hoping. He was praying for that to happen. And he gave the way for it to happen. Folks have messed it up all these years. And keep messing it up. That all may be one. For example, he said, as you, Father, and I, we've always been one. I mean, when you look down from heaven with Peter, James, and John present, the Mount of Transfiguration, you said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. They knew that. So they paid attention to those miracles, those signs and wonders, confirming that I was the Son of God, and they believed that I was the Son of God. And I want those who believe on me through them to believe that I'm the Son of God and that you sent me. And that they might have life eternal, might have life in my name, Jesus said. This was the words of John in John 20, 30 and 31. Truly Jesus did many signs in the presence of his disciples. They saw them. They saw these miracles that confirmed what he taught and who he was. And he said, these are written in this book that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. And today we as Christians believe that. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and with that belief, we can have eternal life. We have that hope of eternal life. We thus believe because of Jesus' words. His words through them, God's word through them, the apostles, inspired of God as they preached and as they wrote, for faith truly does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Jesus' prayer of John 17 was his private prayer to the Father. But John allowed us to eavesdrop, didn't he? He allowed us to hear, to see, to read, to better understand what Jesus was doing when he prayed to the Father. What was on his heart in his last hours? What would he say to God knowing that he soon would die upon the cross? His hour had come. Hour of the completion of his work. The hour of his glorification upon the cross, and soon his hour returned back to the Father. It was his sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. He prayed for the unity of his apostles that they may be one. He prayed for the unity of all believers that they all may be one. Through the apostles' words, through the preaching. He prayed for unity, but a unity based upon the word that was taught by these apostles, the truth. Prayed for unity of all believers. Because without those apostles believing and being one, and without those that they taught being one, there was no atmosphere. There was no environment in which to go out into all the world to preach the gospel. But they did that in the first century. The Bible said they went out and preached the word to the whole world in the first century. Jesus makes the oneness of believers as a unified body, dependent upon the union of each individual with him. We're going to be talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. The prayer of Jesus there. We're going to look at Jesus on the cross and what happened there and why. But as we look at God's Word this morning and the lesson tonight, Brother Jerry is going to bring us a lesson on Galatians 2 and verse 20. The life that I now live, I'll announce the title because I remembered. Luckily. That verse says this and should have great meaning for us after listening to Jesus' prayer. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus' prayer, his hour had come. Didn't have much more time to talk to these apostles, nor to talk to you and me, to writing down his message. This morning, perhaps it's your hour of decision. Your hour of decision. Stand on the side of Christ, God in Christ, or you stand on the side of Satan. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you become obedient to the Son of God according to Jesus' words as spoken to those apostles and is supplemented and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that He came, that He lived the perfect life, that He died on the cross for your sins and for mine, that they may be forgiven? Had He not come, we would not have been able to reconcile ourselves to God. We would not be able to even have a hope of heaven. We would not have a hope of anything beyond this life. When we took our last breath, without hope in Christ, there is nothing. There is something. But there's nothing good. There's nothing good. This morning, if you need to come to Christ, if you need to come back to Christ, rededicate your life to Christ, or if you need the prayers of this congregation, whatever you need, would you come as we stand and sing?